for the Dungeon of Delirium Halloween Special.
Which means it's time for part 3 of our Halloween special. Make sure you've listened to episodes 1 and 2 before tonight's morbid tale of mayhem. Our special and our bong giveaway conclude tomorrow, which means today is your last chance to enter the Dungeon of Delirium bong giveaway. Hurry up! Rate our podcast and send us a screenshot to Dungeon of Delirium on Instagram or contact at Dungeon of Delirium over email. The winner will be announced on tomorrow's conclusion. Tonight, we pick up our story deep in the woods, a place where brambles grow thick and time grows thin. Where lovers and losers collide, and only one is left holding the treats.
My beloved had built this home for us, a natural stone English-style cottage on 55 wooded acres. It was our dream home. We'd light a fire each night and I'd stare out at the river below. We'd smoke joints, play records, and slow dance barefoot on the riverbanks. There was an old barn on the property where we'd store food and house a scarecrow for the kids. We hung a swing and tended a night garden that bloomed under the moonlight. There was a nearby town where we enjoyed going to grab a bite to eat. It was just us out here. That's all we ever needed.
Alira, you are the most radiant creature I have laid eyes on in any lifetime. Would you do me the honor of dancing with an old crone?
I could never refuse you, Verona.
Then I shall never stop asking.
Let's stay like this forever. Now the same stone mantle is collecting dust. A silver urn engraved in script carries the weight of the words, "My beloved." Now these halls, much like myself, are haunted. Memories float from room to room like ghosts. Memories of music and laughter, and of a time when life was close to perfect. Even after what happened.
Alira, run! Hide!
I couldn't let this place go for the same reason I couldn't stand to be here anymore. There were too many memories. Even I am a hollow shell of the radiant creature I once was. Frail, weak, heartsick. I can't sleep. I can't eat. My mind is a broken record. Our last night together clings to my memory like cobwebs. The only place I can still exist is with her. So I live inside my haunted memories, examining each detail for what I could have done differently, unconsciously calling upon every devil and demon for another chance. She had promised me forever, yet still the days since she has been gone continue to cruelly pass by me without regard for my own reluctance to endure. Tonight, I let my long silk wedding gown fall around my sunken collarbones. I trace the ivory lace hem with my fingertips and close my eyes to hear her call to me.
I had to capture a glimpse of my lovely bride. Though I do wish I had known we opted for informal.
Stop. I don't want to stain my dress. I was starving, and you know I nibble when I'm nervous. Help me into my dress.
No, I like this. A naked wedding is a thing, you know.
I decided it was time to say goodbye. I sat on the riverbank where we'd lay in each other's arms and recite poetry or serenade the midnight sky like river sirens. I traced our initials we'd carved into the old barn. Goodbye to the mantle where she now rested. Goodbye to this crypt. I planned to stay one last night in the home we'd made together, allowing myself to revel in the recollection before watching the sun rise. It was All Hallows' Eve and my nerves were frayed. I couldn't settle myself, and instead I paced the halls like a panther trapped behind glass and steel. Every now and again I would settle into the window and try to calm my nerves in the soft glow of the moon. But still my anxiety would creep in, and I'd begin to rub at my lips before pacing again, as if trying to outrun the discomfort of being trapped with my own thoughts. My stance instantly shifts into the defensive as I jerk toward the sound of the banging cutting through my breathy silence. Just as fast as my defenses went up, I freeze at the intrusion. It couldn't be. I'd imagined this so many times, over and over and over. What were the odds of lightning striking twice? I try to rationalize the thought. My pulse quickens, knowing this is an uninvited visitor who's found their way to my very isolated doorstep.
Shh, 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 shh. Please, just listen to me.
Verona, I don't understand. I've never seen you like this. You're shaking.
I need you to listen to me. Someone is here to hurt me. He doesn't know about you, but he will get inside.
What's happening? Who is this?
He is coming for me. When he does, I need you to stay out of sight and cut to the trees. I'll meet you at the scarecrow.
Fear, I won't leave you.
Shh, shh. Please, my love. There's no time to explain. I need to know you're safe.
I can't.
You can. You will. I will meet you at the scarecrow. I promise.
Hello? Please help. Someone, please help me.
My heart was a hummingbird in my chest now. I was paralyzed from fear. Maybe there'd been an accident on the road? Or maybe he'd come back for me.
It's going to fucking kill me, please. Please open the door. Open the door.
Each bang forces me to recoil, and I feel convinced whatever is on the other side of the door will crash through with each thud. The knob continues to jiggle and pull as the screams grow increasingly frantic. I somehow manage a very shaky, "What's happened? Let me call for help." I creep in silence over to the front door, an ornate antique wooden door with no peephole. So instead, I caress the door with a wide embrace before planting my ear firmly against the wood grain where I can hear a very hushed,
"They'll never get you in time."
I fall back and clap my hand over my mouth as I simultaneously kick myself away from whoever or whatever is on the other side of this door. I nervously glance toward the urn as if begging her to tell me what to do now. I begin scanning the room for anything to use, a place to hide, because they were right. No one was coming. I was weak, and I was alone. I spent every single day since she was taken from me slowly starving myself, dreaming of death, longing for it, to be released from this lifeless existence. And yet I find in this very moment, all I want to do is survive the night.
Shut up, Sam. We need them to actually open the door.
Yeah, telling them there's someone trying to kill you sure seems very inviting.
Someone is trying to kill me, dude. I didn't hear you coming up with anything better.
It's late, Luke. Would you open the door for us on mischief night? We don't have time for this. Come on, help me find another way inside.
Sam, I don't know if I can do this. Maybe we should have just gone to town with Tommy.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because following Tommy has worked out so well. That idiot got us into this whole mess. Luke, look. We don't have time for that now. We're already here. The sooner we find the girls, the sooner we can get out of here.
But what if this doesn't work?
Your way didn't work. Let's try my way. Now, help me find a window to climb through.
Sam, are you okay? Can you see anything? Talk to me.
It's pitch black in here. I can't see a thing. This place is fucking weird. What was that? Who's there? My beloved Verona. 1872 to 2023. Creepy, typo. Brutal.
Sam, talk to me.
Luke, bad news. I don't think two people live here anymore.
I had cowered, trembling in Verona's coffin, trying to conceal myself. It still rested next to mine. It was the only comfort I had left of her in this world now. I watched as these meddling vermin broke into our sacred home with wicked intentions. I could see now they were not hunters, not men, but merely children. Petulant boys. Boys who would grow into men. Men who meant to do us harm. Hunt us.
Some creep followed me tonight.
Why didn't you tell me? I would have brought him home on a metal spike for you.
He made me nervous. Something didn't feel right.
Do you remember the guy I ate on the B train? Massive.
Al, have you ever encountered a vampire hunter?
Like Buffy?
No, I'm serious, Alira. They are real.
I watched in horror as the boy who pulled himself inside befouled the ashes of my beloved. I idly stood by as these vicious monsters preyed on my vulnerability and grief. I cowered in fear in my withering state. But now I could hear the blood pumping through the boy's veins, the sound of his heart pounding faster with each passing second he was alone. With me. The pulsing of blood rang out like a dinner bell. I could smell his fear, and I was starving. He began to pivot toward the window, tilting the urn toward the boy, still just outside when I rose from the coffin. Fangs drawn, eyes glowing red.
Luke, run! Hide!
They'll never get to you in time.
From outside, I can see nothing. All I can hear is my best friend screaming. The sound makes my stomach drop as my blood instantly runs cold. Sam told me to run. And that's all I can do now. My legs tremble like a newborn fawn, but I use every ounce of strength I can muster to turn on my heels and start sprinting towards the old barn. Maybe I can make it there.
Luke, you can run, but you can't hide.
Join us tomorrow for the final installment of our Halloween special. A final thread to tie the other threads together. You won't want to miss it.
The Treats was written and directed by Chelsea Darling. Halloween special by Chelsea Darling and Kevin Klausman. Narrated by Farah Tari. Starring Farah Tari as Alira, Chelsea Darling as Verona, Nathan Foster as Sam, and Ricardo Rodriguez as Luke. Original score by Kevin Klausman. Join us tomorrow for the final installment of the Halloween special. We'll see you there.